Well, the Daily Racing Form Breeding Edition is now in the newsstands, and some good articles in there. John Sparkman, of course, who was a regular contributor, is writing about Midnight Loot, who's a sire of Midnight Hawk, of course, who won the Grade 3 Sham Stakes back on January the 11th, last Saturday. And so he is writing about him. Goes into depth in his pedigree. There's an article in there on early hoof care for foals written by Denise Stephans. And it's a very interesting article. Haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I'm going to just as soon as I get off the air. Patrick Reed is writing about the hot sire, and that would be Bodemeister. Well, he isn't a hot sire yet. He hadn't sired a winner. He is a hot stallion. And but his first foals, I don't know if they're foals this year or not. They might be, and that's Susie's dog barking there. Anyway, that is a article about Bodemeister, who is one, as I thought he was going to win the Derby and lost my money on that, but he ran a hell of a race in the race, didn't he? And let's see what else is in this Sunday edition. The stakes report, of course, starting with the Fort Lauderdale Stakes and the Hal's Hope and the Sham Stakes, and you can get to pick up the pedigrees on the winners and everything right there. So it's a Sunday Daily Racing Form, now in your newsstands, and with the past performances in there from Turfway, Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Tampa Bay Calder, and Fairgrounds, and Oaklawn Park.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Clocker Stand. Kind of a chilly morning this morning, but they say the track is in pretty good shape, isn't it, Susie?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's in good shape. Said it was in really great shape yesterday, so that's that Harold Reed, that damn Harold. He always has his track ready to go. We've got some horses out on the track. Not many breezers this morning, but I think Susie said we had about 33-year breezers yesterday. I wasn't here yesterday. Let's see, what are we going to do today? Regular time next week. I was thinking that UK had a noon ball game next week, but it's at 1 o'clock, so we'll be on at the regular time. I like that. Michael Blowens will be here from Old Friends, and I talked to Dr. Doug Byer yesterday. He's doing great. He says he's going to do his best to get here. If Susan will let him out and drive in the slick roads or something like that. All the roads were pretty good coming in from Bourbon County. I don't know how they are down your direction, but anyway. Steve Moody is with Bloodstock Research Information Services, and they're running a couple of stakes down at the fairgrounds today, and he does the fairground sheet now. He, of course, he's with, as I said, with Briss. They're running the LeCompte. It's a Grade 3 race, and the Colonel E.R. Bradley Stakes, which is also a Grade 3 race. Now, Colonel Bradley died in 1946, and I've got an obit which was written by Joe Palmer in American Racehorses in 1946. I'm going to read that. Also, more on Colonel Bradley and his Idle Hour Farm from an article that was published back in the late 30s, 1990. Well, it appeared, the articles appeared in the Lexington Leader, Herald Leader, written by Joe Jordan, and his Idle Hour Farm, of course. And there were a series of articles that he did on horse farms here, and they put them in book form and published it in 1940. And the book is entitled Bluegrass Horse Horse Country. And it is a very interesting book. And Don Combs loaned it to me, and I liked it so much that Jackie went on website and picked me up one. So, Don, if you're listening, I've got your book over here. If you brought your book, and you're welcome back to it to have it back now. Appreciate it, though. Old Hat was a champion handicap mare. She was a foal in 1949. She was by a horse named Boston Doge. Boston Doge was by the Doge, and the Doge the Doge stood down at Carter Thornton's Three Main Farm. Boston Doge had, if I remember correctly, he had win streak of about 12 in a row or something like that before they finally beat him. He was a sprinter, but he went to stud. He sat a few stakes winners, maybe a dozen stakes winners. Anyway, we're going to read about the old hat. And let's see who else. More from Joe Palmer. I've got a couple of things that I want to read that he did down there. Went off without my commercials this morning, but here comes my lovely bride right now, and Holly's going down to pick him up, so I'll be able to do some commercials. How about that? Man, I tell you what, I could screw up a one-car funeral. All right. Winners from here. We've had 13 winners this month. Not many opportunities. You know, they've had some cancellations, and, well, nobody. Mountaineer's not running, and all we've got is Turfway, and they just run 3 days a week. Thank you, Holly. You're a sweetheart. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. All right. Give us the resi over here, and we're in business, Mary Jane, down at the radio, down at the station. So, thought you were going to dodge a bullet with all these commercials, but you're not going to do it. Anyway, so what are we going to do? What was I talking about anyway?
Winners from here.
Oh, the winners from here. Wait a minute. They're there. All right. It's right here. They're on the book here. Don't mess that up. I will be in a bit bad shape. Here we go. Winners from here. Thank you, Ressi. 13, as I said, 6 since last week's show. And they were Alberta Davies, one with Crossed Hearts at Turfway. Tommy Short, one with Brooke Secret at Turfway. And Robert Hunt, one with Fighting, what is this? I can't read my own right. Fighting Xena, I think, at Turfway. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, great. Then John Langemeyer took a couple up to Beulah Park and won them both with Little Indy and Exedever. And then last night, Brian Michael won at Turfway with D'Lo. D'Lo, owned by Alan Tannenbaum, incidentally. Alan used to ride races a few years back. Well, maybe more than a few, Alan, if you're listening. When I first came around out here, he was getting on horses out here, and he rode races around here, and obviously did very well. Anyway, he's Brian trains for him, and he's won 2 or 3 races for him here just here recently. So congratulations to Alan and to Brian. Now, let me get this all squared away here, and I've got some things that I can talk about a little bit. John Nicholson is retiring out at the horse park. That's a big loss there. Boy, I wouldn't want to try to fill his shoes. That's one of those jobs where you have to deal with politics and you have to deal with all kinds of people, and I couldn't do it. But John has done, I mean, it's under his watch out there that the horse park has really grown. And I don't know how in the world they're going to replace him, but I guess they will some way. Somebody's going to take the job, but there's an awful big shoes to retire. I'm going to try to get John on the show here in a couple of weeks. We give him a call and see if I can't get him over here. He's not leaving until April, so I guess he's retiring, or maybe he just found something else he'd want to do. Maybe he's, I don't know. We'll find out, though, but we'll get him on. All right, well, Giants Causeway is a champion runner and millionaire himself, and he's topped the North American Sire List 3 times, ranked among the top 10 for 9 consecutive years. Dream of Summer won the great, well, no, I shouldn't be doing it. Yeah, I will. I'm all messed up today. Let me try this one again. Progeny of Claiborne Sires won both of the graded stakes offered at Gulfstream last Saturday. Summer Front by Warfront won the Grade 2 Fort Lauderdale, and Lee by First Samurai won the Grade 3 Hal's Hope. Summer Front bred by Graceville Breeding. Sold to Keeneland this April 2-year-old in training sale for $475,000. Won 6 stakes now, 4 graded, has earned over $704,000. He's the second graded stakes winner of 2014 by Warfront. Sire in 2013 of 18 stakes winners, 11 graded. The youngest sire, he was the youngest sire among the top 5 on the North American Sire List. Lee was bred and owned by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dillschneider. He won 2 graded stakes, placed in 3 more for earnings of nearly 410,000. At First Samuel in 2013 saw 9 stakes winners, 4 graded, 2 grade 1. Warfront stands for 150,000. First Samuel for 15,000. Fees payable when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm. See the website at claibornefarm.com. Clay Ward Agency's over another outfit over in Paris, Kentucky. Of course, Claiborne is down in Bourbon County also. The Clay Ward Agency, they've been insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds for over 80 years now. That's a long time, isn't it, to be in business? Mr. James Clay Ward founded the business, and, of course, he passed away many years ago. But he set a tradition there of hard work, service, and thorough knowledge of the horse business. And that tradition's carried on today by my good friend Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. So if you want to do business with people who know what the heck they're doing, you need to give them a call. If you're looking for some insurance, they'll get you the right policy for the right horse. They do it the right way at the Clay Ward Agency. The number over in Paris is 859-987-1861. Now, the Clay Ward Agency is very closely affiliated with Indian Creek, which is also, of course, down in Bourbon County. And they have the same tradition there for just hard work and know what they're doing. Ray's a bunch of runners down there, and they're noted for doing that and for selling top-quality bloodstock at major sales. They sold 6 champions or raised 6 champions down there at Indian Creek. And give them a call. It's a great place to board. They've got a lot of connections, both here and abroad. And you need to give Shaq Parrish or Nicky Dryon a call. And the number is another 859 number. It's 987-7443. And you can see the website at IndianCreekKY.com. That's IndianCreekKY.com. That's two businesses there that you really ought to know if you're in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. Well, Good Stormer's got a lot going for him. First of all, he was a flat runner. He won 9 stakes, 7 of them graded, 3 grade 1. He earned $1,606,812. He's the leading money winner among the 84 stakes winners sired by Stormy Atlantic, whose stud fee has climbed to $30,000. Now, Stormy Atlantic is a top 10 sire among all active sires in 2013, ranked second only to Giant's Causeway among sons of Stormcat on the sire list. He's a good-looking horse. Get Stormy's a real good-looking horse. I saw him just the other day. Flashy. Go take a look at him. You're going to like what you see. And to top it all off, after 31 starts and 5 years of tough competition, he retired sound. Now that's a big plus these days. Get Stormy stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. That's a farm you should know about, especially if you're looking for a place to board your horses. Most of their clients have been with them for years. It's a family operation. They treat their customers like family. Give them a call. It's 859-252-3770. Yeah, they'd be happy to show you around. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. Okay, let's look at for my good friend David Switzer over to KTA. The Kentucky Bred Stakes winners from last week in Fort Lauderdale, a grade 2 race down at Gulfstream Park, went to Summer Front. Summer Front is a 5-year-old horse by Warfront at a Rosa Summer by El Prado, bred by Graceville Breeding. And, of course, Summer Front stands at Claiborne Farm. Let's see what else we have here. Howell's Hope Stakes, grade 3, down at Gulfstream also, went to Lee, and Lee is a 5-year-old horse by First Samurai, bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dillsnyder. They from the same crop, aren't they? And, of course, First Samurai stands also at Claiborne Farm. The grade 3 Sham Stakes, named after that fine son of Patande. When is he by Patande? I can't remember. Oh, anyway, Midnight Hawk by Midnight Loot, and he was bred by Michael Pegram and was raised over at Hillendale Farm, as a matter of fact. The Ruthless Stakes, named after the great Ruth producer and race mare back in the late 1890s, right in there, Maduha won that, and she's a filly by one of my favorite horses, De Hare. This one's bred and owned by Shadwell Farm, and they, of course, De Hare stands over at Shadwell Farm. He's the son of Awesome Again, a Grade One stakes winner, and gets a very high percentage of runners. Nice stakes horses. A Gypsy Robin was a heck of a stakes filly, and she was by De Hare. The fifth season stakes at Oaklawn Park. The winner was Dogu by Victory Gallop, bred by Charles Sella, of course, who is the head of Oaklawn Park. So that wasn't a whole lot of stakes winning last week, but it's about time for the Eclipse Awards. You know, and since the beginning of the Eclipse Awards, the first ones were 1971, Kentucky Breds have won 283 of the 461 Eclipse Awards. That's 61% of all awards, and nearly 2.5 times more than all other states combined. So that's a pretty good record for Kentucky Breds, but, you know, that's kind of to be expected. All right, let's see. I had some announcements around here that I was going to do, and I put them down somewhere. Oh, here they are. Since Jackie can't make it today, by the way. We've had some problems at home. Plumbing problems. I see I announced about Joe Nicholson, John Nicholson retiring. Horse slaughter has been banned again. Actually didn't ban it. They just don't provide funding for inspectors, and that effectively bans them, shuts them down right there. So you can forget about the horse slaughter right now anyway. And here's a big article on John. I don't have, good Lord, it's about 3 pages. Jackie couldn't make it, and I've got her announcements here. Let's see, Thoroughbred Center here at the training center. You know, it's a great, ideal meeting facility. They've got multiple rooms. They can seat from 20 up to 900. They've got a pavilion and an auditorium. They've got a conference room. You can arrange for equipment, furniture, bar service, and other special needs right here at the Thoroughbred Center. Full-service catering for on all occasions, weddings, seminars, receptions, dances, banquets, the group tours. You can talk about, call over and ask about tours. They're limited now, I think, during the winter. I forget what their tours are now, but I think maybe one or two a week they give you. And, of course, they give, during the summers, there's farm maintenance services, fencing, construction, barns, and mowing. And you can come out here and rent stalls. That's what it's all about. Two great tracks out here. So, an EMT on site during training hours, 24-hour security, 7/8 and a 5/8 mile training track. You can't go wrong. And grain and hay vendors are on the premises. It's the Thoroughbred Center. Here's a phone number. It's right out here on the Paris Pike. It is 293-1853. The Mid-South Eventing and Dressage Association is having a meeting. It started this morning, they're going on again tomorrow. And let's see, what time do they start there? Started at 8. Well, that's just an organizer's meeting. 9:45 to 3:30, off-track Thoroughbred Mythbusters panel. That should be very interesting. Who's involved with that thing? Dr. Kathleen Anderson. Oh, Bill Wofford. He's a guy who knows what he's talking about. Danny Warrington. And let's see, 5 o'clock is cocktails, so you can make that for sure. 6 o'clock is awards banquet. And Sunday, January the 19th, there's an annual business meeting at 10 a.m. So that's the Mid-South Eventing and Dressage Association, and they're talking about horses, off-track horses let's see, I'm trying to see who Dr. Anderson. She's got a multi-spectrum practice which treats race horses and upper-level performance horses at the renowned Fair Hill Training Center. Okay, and Danny Warrington is an advanced rider who has trained 3-day steeplechase and flat winners, as well as working with yearlings and older horses. And, of course, Billy Wofford has got Rimrock Farm. He's been in the business of breaking, consigning, and boarding thoroughbreds longer than I would like to squeal on him. Oh, Don came to get his book. Let's see what else we got here. That's about it right now. for that. Don, you want to come over here and let me give you a book? This can be put away somewhere, Ressie. Let's see, one of these is yours and one of them is mine. I had to go out and I think the good-looking one is yours. The old beat-up one is mine.
I have a cover for it.
Wait a minute here. You got a what?
I just kept the cover at home when I brought it because, you know, that's what kept it really good condition probably.
Did you read it all the way through yet?
I haven't yet. I've read lots of it. Parts that I knew a lot about I read.
Which parts was that?
Oh, of course, I read about Spindletop, and I read about, I read a lot of them. I read probably most of them, not all of them. I read about Dixieana and those. I read about those.
Now, what did you know about Dixieana?
Well, I just always been fond of Dixieana. When I went to Russell Cave, we used to go down there and have picnics in the spring. We'd go down and play ball down there by the creek. We'd go down there, and I always liked Dixieana. I always thought it was one of the prettiest farms around.
Well, it is the prettiest farm around. There's a biased viewpoint, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a little biased, but I think it's very pretty. It's just the way it lays and that creek that runs up through it. And it just was always a pretty place.
Yeah, and of course the cave is right there, too.
And the cave is right there across the road. Yeah, right there. Yeah.
Named after the Russell family, as a matter of fact. It owned that land at one time.
You know, one of the Hughes boys got killed in that cave. Oldest one.
Grover. He was in the sixth grade at Russell Cave when he got killed.
He got killed down there.
Yeah, he was a classmate of mine.
Yeah, was he really? Is that right? I knew all the other boys. I knew them really well, but I went to school with Donald and Walter and Lawrence and Leonard. All of them. Yeah.
I thought Leonard was the oldest. No, I guess Grover would have been.
Then they have a daughter. Sissy might have been next. Then probably Donald. And then it went to Donald, Walter, Raymond, Lawrence, and then Leonard.
Yeah.
And then they had another younger one. They had a big family. They lived there right there on Rose Cave Road, right there. And where that creek runs, right there at barns and things, right below where the Cowboys
are. Right behind Cowboys.
Right behind Cowboys.
Cowboys wasn't there at that time. neither was the bypass.
No, the bypass wasn't there either.
No, that's been a long time ago.
Been a long time.
Yeah, I knew Grover real well. Like I say, we were friends. Yeah. It's a wonder. I lived right there.
You're right there across the road. That's right.
Yeah, and it's a wonder I wasn't with
him. I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know.
A big slab off the roof, they were in there. And they were just getting ready to leave, and one of them hollered, and the slab off the roof came down, and he never knew what hit him. Broke his neck.
I knew it happened, but I didn't know what had happened.
John Matthews was with him. John was his daddy worked over at on George Widener's farm, Kenny.
Oh yeah,
Old Kenny farm, another good farm. Yeah, I grew up real close to that farm too. Used to be able to look out my bedroom window and see 8:30 and Platter.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
With Coldstream, I always was fond of Coldstream Farm. And of course, after Charlie Kenny left there, he went down. He had that farm down on the corner of Ironworks and Newtown Pike, leased from Mr. Randolph.
Yeah.
And I worked for him when I was in junior high school down there.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think that the manager was later went to Spendthrift. I think you had his son over here, interviewed him once. The name slips me right now. Later went to Spendthrift, but he was Charlie's manager there.
Charlie Kenny.
Charlie Kenny's manager there.
Yeah. Right.
And Charlie left, went on over to.
He took Noor and.
Noor and John's Joy.
John's Joy.
Both of them meaner, as mean as they could be.
Well,
they were terrible.
Maybe they took after Charlie. No, Charlie was a nice man.
Charlie was funny. He had that toothpick all the time up in that hat.
Nice guy.
Yeah, I like Charlie.
He ended up with
Stoner Creek.
Well, he went down to Stoner Creek, and when the Trotting Horse people came in there, he managed Trotting Horses.
I didn't know. I really didn't know. That's what I didn't know. They had Trotting Horses later.
Well, they still do. Steve Stewart.
I heard. I think you interviewed him last week or so.
Last week, I learned a whole lot from him.
Yeah, he seemed to be pretty sharp on everything. He's pretty much on that.
I loved that interview. I didn't have to say a word.
That's pretty nice. Yeah, I heard that. That was nice.
I know it's a good interview when I don't have to say anything.
You've got one talking. That's great.
Yeah.
That's good. Here's your interview over here, sitting over eating right now.
Who, Dutcher?
Dutcher's over
Dutcher
here.
Dutcher Howard.
Dutcher's growing.
That's my little buddy.
Yeah, Dutcher's growing.
Yeah, he is. How you doing, Dutcher? Got his mouse watching Mickey Mouse on something.
He's got his thing in front of him. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well, that's...
They all have those now, those little games and things they can watch.
His daddy's a Mickey Mouse. That's what that's all about.
Big Mickey Mouse. Little Mickey Mouse.
Oh, yeah. Well, Noor is buried now over at the old friend's.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know. He was a good-looking horse. Handsome, big, dark, big, black, almost horse.
They were going to, where he was buried or something, they were developing, and they were going to blacktop it or something like that, and they raised some money, you know, and shipped his bones over to old friends.
Well,
and
that's neat.
When you pull in old friends, it's right there on the left.
I've got a marker. You know, I've never been out there, and I've been talking to Michael, and I've been wanting to go out there, and I'm going to go. I'm just going to make a special trip out there to see Michael.
Well, my goodness, they've got the winners of about close to $100 million
out
there.
Is that right? That's great.
You won't find a collection of horses like that anywhere else in the world. You know.
Well, I think that's a wonderful thing. That's great. That's really gone over really well. That's super.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Because, you know, they're taking care of these old horses. And they lost Sunshine Forever last week.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. And a couple of others. There was a mare that died. I can't remember. And another stud that died. They lost three last week.
Is that right?
Yeah. Michael he wears his black armband around, you know.
And I heard on the radio, it might be on your program, about the horse slaughter, they passed that law where they can't have the inspection anymore. So that'll stop that. They don't have it.
Yeah, anymore. Right. Yeah, that. Yeah, I said something
you
about that
said
a little bit earlier.
I think that's where I knew I heard it somewhere. I heard it.
I think Jackie probably announced it next week, and I changed it again, you know. Yeah. But we just got to find homes for these old guys.
Yes, I think that's great. That's wonderful. Matter of fact, I looked at my old pony. I retired it. Yes, I see him out there, and he's 29. I said, this rascal's still going.
He's still alive at 29.
Yeah, he's 29, and I'm going to go put some hay out for him pretty soon. Now, he's with another pony. He's with a show pony, actually, another paint, and they're really good-looking horse, really a good paint horse he's out there with now. But he's 29, and he's been a little hard on him this winter, though. He's starting to drop a little weight he never had before. So.
Right.
And it's that old cold weather is pretty bad.
Been hard on everybody.
Yeah. And he doesn't like a blanket. I had a big special, one of the Australian turnout blankets, and he didn't like that at all. He wouldn't hardly move around with it on. I finally just took it off.
We've got, I don't have but four old horses at home now. I mean, we've got two in one paddock, two in another. Well, actually, pretty good paddocks. They're both 8 or 10 acres each. You
right.
Know.
Oh, that's good. That's nice.
Yeah. And there's a shed for two of them.
Uh-huh.
Two that I don't have a shed for. Uh-huh. And I'm too cheap to put one up, I guess. So we put rain sheets on them.
Uh-huh. Oh, right.
So they still grow.
Keep them dry on top.
Anywhere. Keep them dry and helps with the wind.
So as long as you keep them dry, they'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, they're fine. Yeah,
they'll be fine.
They haven't missed a meal or lost a pound all winter.
I have a great, nice running shed. And also, I have a big double stall that I leave open, too. They can go either place. But you know where they go? The running shed.
Do they?
They like the running shed. Yeah. They have either choice of going to the barn or going to the running shed, and they go in the running shed.
Yeah, most of the time they stay outside.
It could be raining or snowing or anything terrible, and there they are out there picking around.
Yeah.
In the snow and all. Yeah. They like that. They have the cold weather so much better than we do. They like the cold weather. The hot weather bothers them more than cold.
Absolutely.
Especially with all those little flies.
That's when they go in the shed.
Yeah.
Get away from the face flies.
Those little flies are so terrible.
Here comes Doc and Michael.
Oh, they're making it. Doc will make it today.
That's yeah, he's to driving. Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Byers and Michael Blowen. All right. Well, let's see.
Nice to talk to you.
Well, thanks so much for lending me that book.
I looked at it. I said, I wonder if Ursula has this book. He'll like it. It's very interesting.
Oh, it is.
And I looked in there and saw, well, your dad's name was in there, too. I said, well, I'm going to take this and see if he's read it.
Yeah. That's Don Combs. Don, good talking to you, my friend. All right. Let me see where I am now. And we'll do a commercial or two. Well, it should come as no surprise that First Defense sought a classic winner in his first crop. He has a pedigree that's stamped with classic performance. He's one of more than 100 stakes winners by the now-deceased Unbridled Song. This ire of, like First Defense, a Winner of the Philly Classic Grade One Mother Goose Stakes. The Unbridled Song is the son of the Classic winner and Classic Sire Unbridled. The Dam of First Defense is the daughter of the Classic winner and Classic Sire Seattle Sloop, one of the all-time great. And she was quite a runner herself. She won Grade One Stakes and right at $900,000. First Defense of Second Dam is the famed Grade One winner and Broodmare of the Year Troussade. Dam of the Classic winner and Superior Sire Empire Maker, and a four Grade One Stakes winners. So when Close Hatches, a filly from the first crop by First Defense, won the Mother Goose Stakes and earned well over $1 million, she carried on the classic tradition. First Defense, himself a Grade One winner, stands at Judmont Farm. Stands for $15,000 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com.
Bourbon County has about 25 years ago. We checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Well, Hold Me Back won his first two starts as a two-year-old. Won a maiden special at Arlington Park and moved over to Keeneland, won an allowance race. Then he went on to win the Grade 2 Lane's End Stakes, the Grade 3 Dominion Day Handicap, run second in both the historic Grade 1 Traverse Stakes, of course that's at Saratoga, and in Keeneland's Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes. He earned $872,610. He's the son of Giant's Causeway, three times the nation's leading sire, and a top 10 sire for nine straight years. And he's out of Restraint, a daughter of Unbridled Song. Sire of over 100 stakes winners. Restraint not only was not only the champion three-year-old of her year in Canada, but the champion sprinter as well. The first foals by Hold Me Back are two-year-olds, and they're going to come out running just like their sire. He has the numbers in his favor, too. Covered over 200 mares in his first two seasons at stud. Signed good-looking foals. Three sold for $90,000 each last year, and a dozen going for $50,000 and up. Hold Me Back stands for $6,000, doing a full stands of nurses, and he stands at Windstar Farm, which is a good thing. They know how to make a stud over there. Inquiries to Darren Fox or Leanna Packard, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Well, here come the fearsome two. I see you got your cane with you this morning.
I got my cane.
Thank
you, Stu Byrne.
Dr. Stuart Byrne made a cane for Dr. Doug Byers, and by golly, he's using it today. That's the first time I've ever seen him use it. Guess because it's such a good-looking cane, you better be careful. The girls might try to take that away from you. How you doing, Michael?
Good, Ursel.
My friend.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah, you all are a little early today, but that's fine.
Yeah. I never know, early, late, what do we know?
That's all right.
I don't know.
I know Bert. I know there's some good racing today.
Oh, I know there is, you know. Burry's down there.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay. Yeah.
That's always a good sign for old friends.
It'd be nice if he could win both of those stakes down there today.
Yeah, that would be. Oh, he's got a real good shot on both of them. I love that Divine Par.
Yeah.
She's something.
Yeah. Well, that's not her name, though. That's just the name of the stud, isn't it?
What?
Yeah, it's the name of the stud is Divine Park. And
Divine Beauty, sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
You got the right
side. Just whack beside the head. It'll come out somewhere.
It's.
You know, of course, Hollywood Park has been sold and it's going to be developed and everything. So they're going to bring Landalusa, I mentioned, back to Spendthrift.
Uh-huh.
Bury her there. And Native Diver is going down to... Del Mar,
yeah.
And they were looking for a place to bury great communicators, so I put our hat in the ring, and on Thursday, via UPS, were the remains of the great communicator.
Without any great communication.
No, and a handwritten note saying, "Well, this is what we found."
You say, "Well, this
okay,
is
this is good."
You're going to put him next to Noor?
No, I'm going to put him. Well, here's one of the real reasons I wanted is because, of course, after Sunshine Forever, the great horse that we lost recently, he won 3 Grade 1s in 6 weeks, and then they ran him 2 weeks later. They ran him in the Breeders' Cup, and he lost to Great Communicator by a neck.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to bury him next to Sunshine Forever, but I'm burying Sunshine Forever a neck in front.
Oh, are you?
He'll finally have his eternal revenge.
It depends on which way you stand now. And you know,
if you put the front of the monument, I know which way's front on the monument.
Okay,
I do know that.
Don Combs was just here, and he used to take care of Noor when Noor was standing in Kentucky, and he didn't know that the remains of Noor were out mm-hmm. there. If I'm not mistaken, then you're going to Old Friends Gate. They're right there on the left.
That's correct. Yeah. They're right. We reinterred Skipaway when Rick Trant sold Hopewell Farm. They weren't sure what was going to happen, so he allowed us to go get Skipaway. We buried Skipaway there, and Noor's buried there. We're going to bury Sunshine Forever there and Great Communicator there, too.
Oh, okay. Right up front, way up front there? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You run out of space back in the back?
No, I want Sunshine Forever to be a little special.
Yeah, well, he was the first horse you got out of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Doc even sold me a share.
Yeah.
He can hustle.
$100.
he can hustle.
The horse, if it wasn't for the horse, I wouldn't. You had your Sunshine Forever hat and your certificate. He had quite a fan club.
Well, yeah. Getting a C note out of me is hard to do.
Yeah. One of the nicest things, one of the things that helped get over the grief that we had when Sunshine Forever died was Jeannie Mirabito runs the RMM's retirement facility and does a great job with those mares, sent him flowers. So it was really nice.
Oh, that's great.
So he's gotten a lot of sympathy cards and a lot of stuff. Anyway, there's another cool thing. Do you have to do an ad?
Or no, not yet. You got to get a minute.
All right, I'm just checking. I want to make sure we get
paid. Sooner or later, I'm going to have to.
Sooner or later, he's going to have to do something. So I got a nice call from a friend of mine in New York who is an assistant to Linda Rice, and she's going out on her own as a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a couple of owners, put up some money, and she's going to have a little racing syndicate, basically a claiming syndicate group in New York of people. And she's going to, as part of the agreement, 1% of the horse's earnings, or whatever the income the horse generates. Every time there's a financial transaction involved with the horse, 1% of that is going in a pot. And at the end of the year, she's going to divide the pot between Akindale Farm, which is a really nice retirement facility up in New York State.
Okay.
And it's where Evening Attire is.
Okay.
And Old Friends.
Well, that's awful nice.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And she's really sharp, and she's been to the farm, and she really likes it. So I'm hoping it starts a trend.
Yeah, what's her name again?
I'm trying to remember her name now. Althea.
Althea?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a pretty good horse name, Althea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good tennis player, too.
Yeah, well, there you go. I didn't know the tennis player.
Althea Gibson.
Well, I never heard of her.
Oh, my goodness. Great. I know. She has 2 legs.
Well, that's good.
He can't remember anything unless it has 4.
Well, I used to play a little tennis. Jackie and I used to play a little tennis back in my youth.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah, I had to quit tennis a couple of years ago, too. Disappointing.
Yeah, I know that.
Only to me.
Really hurt the game. All right, now I'm going to have to take that break you were talking about. Well, January 11th at Aqueducts, the $100,000 Ruthless Stakes was won by Mamduha, a 3-year-old filly by De Hare. Mamduha served notice on November 2 at Aqueduct that she was something special. Won a maiden special by 4 impressive lengths after being slammed at the break and again approaching the turn and going 5 wide down the lane. Didn't bother her. 4 weeks later at Laurel, she won the $100,000 Gin Talking Stakes by 4.5 lengths. Mamduha turned in another courageous performance in the Ruthless. The official chart of the race described her performance as, quote, determined and game, unquote. Mamduha's class and courage reminds us of another high-class filly by De Hare. Of course, that's Gypsy Robin. Now, Gypsy Robin won 5 stakes, including 2 graded stakes right out here at Keeneland, was second in 2 more, a grade 1 at Saratoga and a grade 2 at Keeneland, and she earned nearly $600,000. Grade 1 winner DeHara, son of Awesome Again, is sighing runners for $5,000 live foal, and he stands at Chadwell Farm. He inquires to stallion manager Ken Barnes. The number over there is 224-4585, and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com. All right, we want to talk a little bit about my friend Ralph Quillen down at Quillen Leather and Tack, the nation's largest custom halter shop, and the best halter shop in Kentucky or anywhere else around, I would say. Right, Susie?
Right.
Anyway, it's down in Paris, Kentucky. Easy to find. If you're going into Paris from the Lexington area, just go to the third stoplight and look on your left. And there it is. And it's great people in there. Go in, talk to Sandy or Debbie. If you find somebody running around there with a big old beard, look like he's right out of Duck Dynasty, that's Ralph. And Ralph is over. He's spending a lot of time down the street, four or five blocks down the street, building some kind of a brewery or something down there. I drove down the street the other day looking for it, and I can't find it. I got to have a guided tour, you know. And if you can't find something in Paris, you're in problem.
Especially a brewery.
Yeah, right. You ought to be able to sniff it out.
Smell it out. Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Well, anyway, Ralph is a great guy, and it's a great tack shop. And I was in there the other day paying my bill. Seems like I get a bill from them every month for something.
You say the same thing every day, every week.
Yeah.
I got a bill here from Quillen.
Well, it's just about
well,
that
somebody
way.
Has to pay their bills at Quillen's. We don't.
Well, that's because he's gone down there and hustled Ralph, for God's sakes, you know. You know, Ralph used to be a fireman. I didn't realize that.
Really?
Yeah, in Lexington. For many years. His dad was the head of the old St. Joseph Hospital. Founded it, I believe. You know, he and Dr. Rankin.
We'll have to get Ralph over here to chat. Talk about it.
Well, I'll get him back over here. I've had him on here before, but it's been a while. I can get him back.
Maybe we'll get him over here and quiz him about the brewery.
Let's wait till it opens.
Well,
I've already told
him. We've been waiting for 2 years. We've been talking about Ralph's Brewery for 2 years. I think it's a myth.
Are you dried out yet?
I think it's a myth.
Are you dried out yet?
Really? Well, if I depended on him, I'd be dry all the time.
Ralph, if you heard that, that's QuillenLeather.com or Quillen.com, QuillenN.com, the world's greatest tack shop. Well, Giants Causeway is a champion runner and millionaire himself. Has topped the North American sire list 3 times, ranked among the top 10 for 9 straight years. Dream of Summer won the Grade 1 Apple Blossom, defeating champion Ashado, earned over $1 million. Creative Cause is by Giants Causeway, out of Dream of Summer. And he lived up to his pedigree. Now, that's a tough assignment. He won Grade 1 Stakes as a 2-year-old, came back at 3 to win Grade 2 Stakes, dropped a nose decision in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, placed in the Classic Preakness, just like his sire and dam, earned more than $1 million. He never faced a horse he couldn't beat. I'll have another, Bodemeister, Union Rags, Painter, Hanson, Doolahan, Jim Hollidus, among them. A Grade 1 winner by a Grade 1 winner, champion sire and millionaire, out of a Grade 1 winner, a Grade 1 producer and millionaire, Creative Cause his first souls are due this year. He stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Stands for $15,000 live foal. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. That noise in the background you heard was Joe Heat over at the starting gate.
Keep raising post it.
Huh?
Well, Barry's got horses in today at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be key to his racing profits.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Look at the dollar signs lighting up in his eyes.
No, it's just the pure pleasure of seeing Barry in the winner's circle.
How to name a horse? Chiking.
Name it what?
Chiking.
Chiking. Chiking, yeah. Chiking.
I had to wait to tell you this because he's going to have a heart attack now, so I know, you know.
Here it goes.
I'm glad he's going down later instead of having to come up the stairs. Going down is just make it a little easier. Uh-huh. We got a new horse yesterday, day before yesterday.
You didn't know about this one, Doc?
No, I don't know anything about it.
He doesn't want to know anymore. I can't tell him anymore because he hits me with that cane you gave him.
I didn't give him that cane.
Well, whoever, you know.
Stuart Burns.
Yeah, Dr. Burns, he got a lot to answer for because now he hammers me over the head with the cane. No, this is a great horse. I love this horse. He's huge. He's 17-1 or maybe 17-2.
So don't you have a stick?
Huh?
Do you have a stick that you measure?
No.
I've got one.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I've got one. I'll give it to you.
Excellent. Okay. His name is Cat Launch.
Cat Launch.
13. Okay. He raced till he was 13.
Okay.
Came in without a pimple on him.
You know, we had that just the same thing with old horse, you know.
Unbelievable. Not a scratch, not a tendon problem.
How many starts?
I think 70-something. Greatest Ohio bred ever. At 13, won a stakes race. And they retired him.
Is that right?
Yeah. Earned over $1 million.
Wow. All of it Ohio money?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, you know, and what they did was really smart. You know, they'd bring him out in the late spring, they'd race him through the summer and into the early fall, give him all winter off, and then he'd come back and do the same thing the next year and the next year and the next year and the next year. And he still looks like he could win some races, but Mr. Fields' owner said it was time for him to retire. They had a really nice day for him up at Beulah Park a few months ago that I got to go to, and we're really happy to have him.
There was used to be an old high bred horse that trained out here a few years back. His name was Red Clay Country.
Uh-huh.
And he won $400,000 or $500,000, you know, and was training here. And I love to watch him train because he ran off every day, you know.
Well,
you remember him, Susie?
Yeah.
Red Clay Country? Who had him?
You go to pick him up, he'd put your pony over the fence.
Oh, yeah. Susie said he'd try to pick him up and he'd try to put the pony over the fence. Well, and the outrider with it, I assume. Well,
this horse
sounds like the voice of experience over there.
Yes.
Yes. Susie was the outrider.
Cat Launch is exactly the opposite. He'll lick your face. He eats mints out of little kids' hands already. He's really a marvel. He's got a great disposition. He's beautiful. He's going to be my new favorite horse, I think.
I believe Red Clay Country was a stud.
Till next week.
When you stud, Susie? Yeah, because I believe he went to stud up in Ohio. He didn't break up racing, but had a little fun. Anyway, so.
This horse is really nice. Megan Fedlovich, the jockey, she came with him to visit.
She's staying?
Ivan. She wants to. She'd like to. Ivan Vasquez's trainer brought him down in the trailer. It was really nice. We all sat around. We're going to put some of his races and some of his retirement pictures up on the internet later today or tomorrow.
Ah, okay.
It's Cat Launch. It's one word.
Oh, okay. What's he by?
I don't know.
Couldn't be by relaunch because,
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I don't know. Maybe that is Steyer.
No, it couldn't
it's
be.
By right. I don't know.
But I don't know. Out of nobody.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll bring that next week. We'll keep people on pins and needles until next week until they find out what the breeding is on
all right.
Cat Launch.
I'm going to get Doc on here in just a few minutes. Doc, can you wait until the top of the hour?
I want to leave before he comes up with more horses.
More horse what?
Before he hustles another horse.
Okay.
These youngsters out here, he's trying to flag them down.
Yeah. Horse galloping by, he's flagging them down.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on, let's go. We got room.
All right.
Got room in the Doc's car.
Let me take a break here. Bourbon Eyes, a 3-year colt, but tis one, a full stamped himself as a colt to watch last Saturday at Oaklawn. Bred by Troy Rankin and Joe Davis and trained by Kellen Gorder, Bourbon Eyes won his stakes career debut on November 30 at Churchill, won by 2 lengths, going 7 furlongs. And Saturday's race at Oaklawn, it was just a second start. He won that by widening 4 lengths, and he was going around 2 turns for the first time, and he was on a sloppy track. Now, he was one of 21 two-year-old winners of 2013, but tis one of them. One of only 5 stallions that stud North America to sire more than 22-year-old winners. One of the 21 was in trouble. Undefeated winner of the historic Grade 2 Futurity Stakes at Belmont Park. A leading second crop sire, tis wonderful to the sire in his first crop of My Happy Face. Winner of the Grade 3 Tempted Stakes, the Lotka Stakes, that's in New York also. And placed in 4 of the stakes, all graded, 3 Grade 1. Earned $540,600. His desire to is tremendous. Placed in Grade 2 stakes and earned $369,981 plus 2 others to place in stakes. Tis wonderful, undefeated 2 and winner of 2 graded stakes on dirt at Churchill is by Hall of Famer Tis now, and he stands for $7,500 doing a full stands and nurses. He is also eligible for Spendthrift's Breed Secure program. If you don't profit, you don't pay. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Want to talk about Reborn? Jackie's not here. She takes Lubricin, and we want to talk about that too. They make Lubricin for both horses and for people. I know that for horses, Lubricin is used by Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollandoffer and Mike Merker. And for people, it's used by Jackie Ellis and Michael Blowen and a few other also Rens.
And Wise Dan, who might very well win the Eclipse Award tonight, Wise Dan takes Lubricin.
Yeah, the Eclipse Awards are tonight, aren't
they? Yes, they are.
Okay.
7:30, HRTV.
HRTV. Okay. I'll find it. What time is the basketball game? That's at noon. That's the reason I'm on early today. Anyway, they were. Let's get back to Lubricin. It's what it does. It sustains the integrity of joint fluid and it reduces the need of costly and acid injections and so forth. And like I say, some top trainers use it. And Reborn. Now that's the one that Wise Dan runs on. Does he use Lubricin too?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I know he runs on Reborn. Reborn is a whole bovine colostrum, and I guess it can be used and is used as a supplement for mare's natural colostrum. And would you think that would be useful, Doc, to help boost that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything to support that the immune system.
Right. Yeah. And so it's ideal. You start it with your foals, but you keep on using it right all in. Right on through. Now, don't be taking off my...
I'm not. Rusty, I've just been doing our crack research department.
You don't know what you're doing over there. Anyway, Reborn is a great product. And call 800-901-8498 to learn more about it. It's reborne.com. And Lubricin is lubricyn.com. You can pick up Lubricin at Old Friends. You can pick up Reborn at KBC and at Horse Sense down in Versailles. So take a look at them. And now you took my...
I'm going to give it back to you. But see, the crack research department.
My crack research.
Russie's crack research department. Cat Launch is by Noble Cat out of a mare named South Ocean.
By Noble Cat, probably the son of Storm Cat, standing up there somewhere.
Probably.
I don't know the horse, though.
That's all I wanted it for. I gave it back.
All righty. Well, the first foals by Cowboy Cal raced to 2 last year and 22-1 are placed with 9 winners, including 2 that earned black type. And they were competing in major tracks, Churchill Downs and Arlington Park and the fairgrounds in Tampa and Gulfstream, Laurel, Woodbine, Monmouth, Hawthorne, Aqueduct. Cowboy Cal was an excellent 2-year-old, breaking his maiden at Belmont, winning the Laurel for Tootie. But he really came into his own at 3 and 4. He won 2 graded stakes at 3 and placed in 3 more stakes, 2 grade 1. He won 3 more graded stakes at 4 and placed in 4 more stakes, all 4 graded, 2 grade 1, for career earnings of over $1 million. Cowboy Cal is by Giant's Causeway, 3 times the nation's leading sire. He stands for $5,000, payable when the foal stands in nurses. At Pin Oak Stud, home also of Alternation, who's standing his first season at Stud. Broken Vow, who is having a great year, as usual, and the good old Stud Sky Classic, who sired over 100 stakes horses. Inquiries of Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Doc,
yep.
What you got on your mind today?
Down horses.
Down horses. Okay.
Down horses.
Cast, you mean, or just down?
Okay. Well, I had written some notes previously on recumbent horses.
Okay.
And I got to thinking, well, the weather this morning is a little bit cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's going to be cautious. And some of them can slip and hurt themselves. So, you know, if you got a down horse, what's the approach? And don't have to slip and fall. You've got other things that can be responsible. So you could have viruses like herpes virus, and the horse can lose its back end and and go down. You've got botulism. You've got EPM. You've got wobblers. And you've got lightning. And something can knock the horse down. So when we lost Sunshine Forever, we didn't know what was going on. But he had a diaphragmatic hernia. He had torn his diaphragm, and his bowel had gone into the thoracic cavity. So you never know till you look. When you look at a horse that's down, you want to look at them and look at their cranial nerves. They've got 12 cranial nerves coming out of their head. Control their tongue, controls chewing and all these other features, the eyes and the blinking. And so you want to find out if there's something with their head or the cranial nerves. And it's fairly routine to just look. If your horse is compromised, he might want to get up, but he can't make it. So he does what we call dog sitting, and the back end is down. He can't make it up. So he may be sternal. He can get up to his chest, but that's about it. Or he can't get up to the chest, so he has a lateral on his side laid out. So you want to, you'd say, well, what would be the approach on it? You put a shank on him, and see if he can get up. And you want to get the head freed. You don't want to pull on that shank, because when the horse gets up, he uses his head to balance himself. But you want to keep him from getting any hurt again. So you put the shank to control it. And he gets up, and if he does dog sit, then tail him up. Pull, see if he can get up with a tail pull. And leave the head alone. You know, he'll handle that. He needs to handle that. And if he doesn't get up, you might have to turn him over to the other side. And sometimes he can get up on one side, and get up. But you turn him over. And, of course, be careful, because they might swing those legs. When you get them in position, you get the forelegs out. So get some footing for them. And if you're dealing with a foal, especially a young foal, foals get up the opposite of an adult. An adult gets up with their forelegs. A foal gets up with his back legs. So
all these years, I've never noticed it, and I've never paid attention to
that. You know, you listen to this show, you're always going to learn something.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched many a horse foal get up and everything like that, and watched them get up with their butt first, you know, but I never thought of it. You know.
Well, they're like calves. Yeah. You know, cattle all their lives get up one way, but foals, when they get a little age on them, they turn into an adult and position the legs appropriately. the use of a sling, you need to be careful. And you're going to take a number of people to help get them into a sling. And again, when you do, most of the time you have to turn them over again. So they go from one side of the body lateral to another side. And then you try and get them up. And of course, you got to have a proper sling support. And if you're in a stall, you need a good beam to put a winch on or something to get them up. And sometimes they're surprisingly, they look helpless, and they look like this is a exercise in futility. And you get them up, and by golly, they stand there and look at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just need that support.
Yeah.
And they do all right. Then what are you going to do for them? Number one would be steroids. You give them steroids as an anti-inflammatory, and including for their muscles or anything else. You elevate that head, and you use butbantamine, DMSO. And, of course, DMSO, we don't use it as much, but it's a potent anti-edema for the spinal cord.
Smell it a mile away, too.
You can smell it. And so it's still a great drug. And you can give it IV, pint, and that'll stink that horse up. And the blood can, in the adult, does what we call hemolytes. It ruptures the red cells in a number of horses, and so the urine will come out red, and so that's not uncommon. But by golly, you know, it does a good job.
Yeah.
We don't use it as much because the bad smell.
Well, you just had to be careful you didn't get it on you.
Yeah. But anyway,
you wouldn't be acceptable in mixed company.
No, it's bringing me back to the thrilling days of yesteryear when I was in Barn 7 in Suffolk Downs, and it smelled like that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 31 days a month, and every year.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's about it.
Well, that's real interesting, Doc.
Well.
Learned something today. My age, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
My problem is I forgot everything.
That's a good thing. You know, watch these old movies you can't remember. I've already seen these movies four or five times. You see them again, but you forgot how it ends. It works out good. See the advantage of decaying brain.
Yeah. All right, Doc.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Let me pay one bill here, a couple of bills here, Mike. I'll get back to you in just a minute.
Okay,
you can stay.
Sure. Whatever my driver says.
We got to get your loser of the day. And so
forth. Okay. I got 1 minute to come up with
that. I won't keep him too long, Doc.
I got one.
Machu Uno is standing the 2014 season for a fee of $25,000 due in a full stands of nurses. In 2013, among all active sires that stood in North America, he ranked 8th. Those ranked above him are standing for fees of $100,000, $80,000, $85,000, $95,000, $150,000, $150,000, and $75,000. He was the sire of 9 stakes winners in 2013, 6 one-graded stakes, 3 one-grade one stakes, including Mucho Macho Man, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. He was second the year before, and he's scheduled to go next in the Sunshine Million Classic today. He has also sired a champion two-year-old in Private Zone, winner last year of the Grade 1 Vosburgh. Private Zone is now being pointed to the Grade 1 Don Handicap down at Gulfstream. Machu Uno has sired 5 Grade 1 stakes winners. In short, he's done just about all you could ask for in a stallion. Eclipse Award winner Machu Uno, winner of over $1,851,000, is certainly one of the most reasonably priced successful sires at stud in North America. Stands at Edina Springs. Call them at 859-987-1798 and see the website at AdinaStallions.com.
WLXG AM Lexington, broadcasting live from the Toyota on Nicholasville studios. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville during the 2014 upgrade event going on now.
Toyota on Nicholasville, where pipe sells cars.
John's Causeway, a champion runner millionaire himself, is top of the North American sire list three times, ranked among the top 10 for nine straight years. Dream of Summer won the Grade 1 Apple Blossom, defeating Champion of Shadow, and earned over $1 million. Creative Cause is by John's Causeway out of Dream of Summer. Lived up to his pedigree. Now, that's a tough assignment. He won Grade 1 stakes at 2, then came back and won to 3 to win Grade 2 stakes. Dropped a nose decision in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, nodded at the wrong time. Placed in the classic Preakness Stakes, and just like his sire and dam, he earned more than $1 million. Never faced a horse he couldn't beat. I'll have another Bodemeister, Union Rags, Paintner, Hanson, Doolahan, Gemologist among them. A Grade 1 winner by a Grade 1 winner, a champion sire and millionaire, out of a Grade 1 winner, Grade 1 producer and millionaire, Creative Cause, its first foal to do this year. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and Sidon's Airdrie Stud for $15,000 live foal. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to a racing profit. All righty, Michael, are you over there? He's over there handicapping like man. Is that the Sunday edition or the Saturday edition?
That's just today.
Today.
Third race at Turfway Park.
Oh, you're going to Turfway?
Yeah.
Oh, close to home.
It's a horse named after you.
Uh-oh.
You're Too Wild.
Not anymore.
You're Too Wild.
Okay.
Been away since November. It looks like horse has been running really well on the grass, but should be able to go over to the synthetic without too much trouble. It's dropping from 10 to 5 and has my favorite jockey for the 10 cent super, Megan Badlovich, who always rides her horses out.
Okay.
So, or should be double. The other thing is the trainer's name is George Bush.
Oh, okay.
And I know George. His brother Vernon Bush, the jockey. Uncle Vernon Bush was a jockey.
I rode Vernon a couple of times.
Yeah. Okay. And Vernon was one of the, when I was at Suffolk, he was one of the top riders at Suffolk.
Riding there.
He and Carl Gambardella. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Put him on a horse named 50 Ways down and going a mile and 16th down at River Downs one day. And the horse stumbled, came out of the gate, and off he came. And put him back in 2 weeks later, or two or three, I don't know, whatever it was, and second time, put him Vernon back up again, thinking, well, he's not going to fall off twice. He didn't. But he took his horse to the lead, and this is a horse wanting to come behind.
Yeah.
And it was somewhat, when they finished, I think he ran third or something like that, and there was an old boy standing there with a beer, and he threw that beer down, and he said, damn, you rode him better when you fell off.
Is this my favorite Vernon Bush story? Vernon Bush rode for a really nice trainer named Billy Perry up at Suffolk. Billy had Formal Gold when Formal Gold was really good.
Okay.
Billy's best horse. But he would ride Vernon occasionally. And I remember one day I was helping Carlos saddle a horse in the paddock, and we were in number 4 and he was number 3, and I could hear Billy Perry saying something to Vernon about his horse, who was going to be the favorite. And all of a sudden, and the horse, anyway, off they go, and of course his horse wins. And as Vernon, after they take the winner's circle picture, he's bringing Vernon back after the weigh-in, and they're walking towards the jock's room, and I hear Billy Perry, he goes, Vernon, I got one thing to ask you. He says, how can you be such a genius when you're on a horse, and when you're off, it's a whole different story.
He's still riding.
Mm-hmm.
God, he's got to be a little long in the tooth now.
Yeah.
To be riding up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a tough rider, and when he's feeling good, he's feeling good, and he does a good job.
What's that little girl that rides up there now, Susie, was out here, her daddy was a pretty good, was a good jockey in New York.
Jackie Davis,
yes.
Oh, yeah, she's fabulous.
Yeah, she
went to Chris's school.
Yeah, I know, yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say that.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you for helping me.
I'm sorry I gave away the punchline.
Chris who?
Chris, I beg your pardon.
And Chris McCarran's school, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's pretty as a picture.
Well, she's really good, and, you know, that whole family, her brother Dylan's riding now, and she's got another sister who's riding. I mean, Robbie's got a whole, you know, and Robbie Davis is training up in New York.
You did what now?
Robbie Davis is a trainer up in New York.
Oh, yeah. In fact, Jackie, I think, won his first race for him at Saratoga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. She came down. Of course, that was her first win at Saratoga.
I was there that day when they won, too. You would have, it was unbelievable. They weren't any happier if they won the Kentucky Derby. They were jumping up and down and screaming. Yeah, it was really nice.
She was a sweetheart. She was. We had her on the show, and she was very vivacious and you know, easy to talk to.
Well, her father's a great guy. Robbie's a great guy. There was a story. You remember what happened to Mike Venezia? They have the Venezia Award. Yeah, Mike Venezia got his head crushed. Anyway, Robbie was right behind him that day.
Yeah.
And that's when Robbie quit riding.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And it was a really amazing story about him in Sports Illustrated that I think might have won the Eclipse Award a few years later, but it's nice to see Robbie back in the game. It really
is. He came back the road after mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did very well.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a very, very good rider.
And then I believe he rode his own horse up there a couple of times, didn't he, in New York last summer? Or summer before last?
I don't know. I hope not. He's getting a little old for
well,
that.
Well, he wouldn't be the first
but
one.
But Dylan, his son rides for him. His son rode, I think the son only rode 4 or 5 of Robbie's horses and won 2.
Is that right?
Dylan, yeah.
Yeah,
it's quite a family.
He was here for the school, but didn't finish like Jackie did. I think he left a little early. I believe that's right. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, Chris will call us and correct us if we're wrong, believe me.
No, the heck with him.
Let it slide.
Let it slide.
Well, as always, Ursula, this is great. We'll have more news next week.
No, well, you better take Doc home now. He's starting to weave a little bit over there. He's going to start to stall along.
Hasn't it? Oh, we got another horse, too. I forgot to tell you about this one.
Oh, my Lord.
A nice one. He's a Johannesburg. He's got the cane ready. His name is Johannes Bourbon.
Johannes Bourbon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nice horse. He was over at Mike McMahon's over in Versailles. Mike had him for a while, and his owners wanted to retire him, Dustin. He's a great-grandson of Ogijan.
When are you going to take Susie's horse?
We're ready. We're going to be ready. I'm telling you, we're going to put up that fence. Ron Wallace is working on it. We got new property that we just signed a lease on next door, and we're getting the fence up. I'm trying to raise the money for the waterers now.
I think Susie's horse. Susie, come over and tell me what you were planning to do for this horse. You were going to send something with him. Use that microphone right there. You were going to.
Oh, I mean, well.
Lots of mints. You're going to send lots of mints.
Well, he comes with benefits, Rock does.
Well, he's like a fashion model. He's been on a bunch of photo shoots. In fact, they had a thing up here where they had the automatic, races, and then the people that won the races would go out on the stage and get their picture taken with Rock, and he had a blanket of roses and the whole bit.
Oh, nice.
And yeah. He had 350 pictures taken in one day.
Holy cow.
So I think he can go
he'd be perfect for us.
Your house and
photo horse.
Yeah.
And be the photo shoot. They can take
Doug's all excited
picture.
Too.
This horse is bomb proof.
I can't wait.
He's one of the smartest and nicest horses.
Well, we'll have him.
He was a lead pony, Susie's lead pony out here. Uh-huh. He knew more about what was going on than anybody did. Well, I would watch this horse while I was clocking out here, and if it was a loose horse, Rock saw it before anybody. And he'd make Susie look good too. I mean,
yeah, he did.
Yeah,
that's nice. What makes a good outrider is a good horse.
Well, yeah. we'll have him there in the spring. It'll be really fun.
Okay.
You know, it's funny about photos. It just reminded me of a quick story. You remember the Howdy Doody show? You would. Howdy Doody, the puppet.
Everybody else remembers it.
What was he doing? My goodness gracious.
When was
he was a superstar in the 50s.
When was this on?
Mr. Bluster.
When was this on?
On the 50s. It was like one of the first TV shows. It was
don't
the
ask
first
me
TV.
What I was doing in the 50s.
Yeah.
I was overseas.
Anyway, I'm sorry I even brought this up now, but now we've got to finish it.
I'm sorry you brought it up, too.
Anyway, Buffalo Bob was the head of the show, and he used to talk to all the puppets. And so I interviewed Buffalo Bob, and he gave me an autographed picture, Buffalo Bob and Howdy said. And he said there were two Howdy Doodies. There was the regular puppet, and then they had photo duty.
Okay.
So it didn't have any strings on him. So he would get his picture taken without the strings. And so he gave me the special picture of photo duty, and that reminded me of your horse.
Yeah, that worked.
This all took place right up here on the stage.
Yeah,
at the training center up there. I mean, this horse, you can do anything.
And then the lady that
was doing it, they had all the tables in the back. Well, they set the tables up while he was on stage, and they didn't allow enough room for the horse to get out. And there was, like, you know, just a couple feet of space between all these tables with these sort of inebriated people eating and drinking.
Sort of inebriated,
there.
Yes.
And I had to lead him through the tables and out the people door.
Well, that'll make them perfect for our farm. If he can weave around the inebriated people, that's all we need.
This is a horse with a future.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep bugging you about
no,
this.
No, I want to.
I want to find a home for
Well, as I say, we're raising the money now for the waters and the fence for the property next door, and we're actually working on trying to get the green space of the property all the way to Ironworks Pike.
Oh, good.
Pretty soon we're going to work our way right up to Doug's farm. We just have to open up the gate and let him in.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, there you go.
He's very happy about this.
Yeah. I can see by the expression.
Yeah.
He threatened you with that cane he's carrying.
He's hitting me with it twice already.
All right.
You know, he goes to the whip early and often when he has to.
He doesn't need this cane. He uses it for special occasions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets more curvy every day. Every time he hits me, it gets bent a little bit.
It's a gorgeous piece of work. Dr. Burns did a great job on that. Thank you, guys.
All right, Ursel. Thank you very much. Best of Jack.
All right. Well, progeny of Craven Sires won both of the greatest stakes offered to Gulfstream last Saturday. Summer Front by Warfront won the Grade 2 Fort Lauderdale, and Lee by First Samurai won the Grade 3 Hal's Hope. Summer Front, bred by Graceville Breeding and sold at Keeneland's April 2-year-old in training sale for $475,000, has won 6 stakes, 4 graded, and over $704,000. He's a second-graded stakes winner of 2014 by Warfront, the sire in 2013 of 18 stakes winners, 11 graded, and the youngest sire among the top 5 on the North American sire list. Lee, bred and owned by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dill Snyder, has won 2 graded stakes, placed in 3 others, for earnings of nearly $410,000. First Samurai last year sired 9 stakes winners, 4 graded, 2 grade 1. Warfront, $150,000. First Samurai, $15,000. Fees payable when the foal stands in nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm. See the website at claibornefarm.com. My good friends, Hill and Reagan Parker, LexHorseFarms.com, are in the real estate business, been in the real estate business for over 12 years now. Doesn't seem like it's been that long. I've known Hill for, gee whiz, I guess it's a little bit longer than that. He's training horses out here. He's a licensed trainer. Won a race with a steeplechaser just last summer, as a matter of fact. A-level pony clubber. He's a absolutely top horseman, and his horses reflect that, you know. And if he's as good a real estate agent as I'm sure he is, as he is a horseman, well, you couldn't do any better. And I know one thing. They're awful nice people, and they'd be lovely people to do business with. They're somebody you can trust. Their words are bond. And they will work real hard for you. That's to get you either find you a horse farm, and they can find you just the perfect farm for you, or to sell your horse farm. If you want a list farm, they've got listings now in Fayette and Bourbon and Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark County. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. And you need to go to the website to check out the website. It's a great website. It's LexHorseFarms.com. LexHorseFarms.com, and they have really wonderful places. There's a place right up here on the Paris Pike, 462 acres. As a matter of fact, it's state of the art, historic farms, one of the most historic farms in Kentucky. As a matter of fact, 74 stalls, 4 barns. And if you want to come down around Brewer Estates, Bourbon, go to Hawkins Cummins and down in Paris, Bourbon County. They've got a 75-acre horse farm down there, 33 stalls, 2 barns, a high-speed treadmill. The cottage on there, it's a bungalow, restored 1920s, excellent condition, centrally located to Lexington, Paris, Georgetown. And a very, very good price on that. There's a place on Ironworks Pike. Can't beat that. There's a farm on Muir Station, which is not too far from here. So check them out. And they're nice people to do business with, as I said. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. And here's their phone number. It's a Lexington number, 859-608-8039. And LexHorseFarms.com is the website. Well, Midas Touch was the champion three-year-old colt of his year in Ireland. He was a classic placed in Great Britain. He was a runner from a sire line, which is producing great runners. In fact, he's by the world's most successful sire, Galileo, son of Sadler's Wells. And it's noteworthy that last year's leading sire, Kitten's Joy, is a grandson of Sadler's Wells. Now add the fact that Midas Touch is out of a stakes-winning daughter of Darshan, the broodmare sire of 225 stakes winners. According to statistics published by the Blood Horse, Darshan's average earnings index is the highest among the top 20 leading broodmare sires of 2013. Better than Stormcats, better than AP Indies. Midas Touch's female family is loaded with classic performance, and he is standing for $10,000 live foal at War Horse Place. Get in touch with Jerry Assinger. Here's his number. These are all 859 numbers. 509-0053. Daner Assinger, 509-3157. Or Rachel Holden, 576-6208. See the website, warhorseplace.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree and why a new generation is using APR Online.
All righty. I have Steve Moody with me now, who is the author of the Fairgrounds Handicapping Sheet. You can pick it up at brisnet.com on the internet, or probably got out at Keeneland, wherever they sell a daily racing form. And Steve, how are you this morning?
Doing all right, Ursel.
I see the sun's come out.
Yeah, it looks like it. I'm sitting here working on Monday card, but yeah, I see some sunshine out there.
Well, that's good. We got two stakes down at the fairgrounds today, I believe.
They got a whole bunch of them today. They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
But two graded, right?
Yeah. Well, two graded. I guess the two that I guess people are looking at the most would be the Oaks and Derby prepped, if you will, the Silver Bullet Day for the three-year-old fillies and the LeComp for the three-year-old colts.
Okay.
So I guess if you want to do those, we can.
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. The seventh race, that's the Silver Bullet Day. That's for three-year-old fillies. Short field of six in here, going a mile and 70 yards. Looks like kind of boils down to a two-horse race, Ursel, between the two-horse, Unbridled Forever, and the bottom horse, the six, Divine Beauty. Unbridled Forever, she won her second start. That was at Churchill Downs. She got LASIK for that race. Won about as easy as you please. She came out of that race and has worked well for Dallas Stewart. I think she's going to be very tough. The bottom horse, Divine Beauty, is 2 for 2 and, won the, Letelier, Memorial last time out. That's a Louisiana bred race. And, she won for Larry Jones. And, I think these two are the ones to beat. I think Divine Beauty probably is the one that makes the lead in here, but I think she's going to get, a little heat from the four horse, Istan Ford. And, those two could, get hooked up early. And I think that kind of sets it up for an off the pace runner like Unbridled Forever. So I'm going to give her, a slight edge. I think her running style, sort of fits the way this race, figures to play out. And I'm going to take her to run by the, dueling leaders late. I think Divine Beauty can hang on and get, second. And it will take, Istan Ford third. So 2-6-4 in the, Silver Bullet Day. And then the ninth race is the LeComp, also a mile and 70 yards. This is a grade 3, 200,000 for three-year-olds. A field of 9 has been entered. And This is a tough race, Ursula. You got, you know, lightly raced 3-year-olds, and a lot of them still with a big upside can improve a lot from just from race to race. I gave a slight edge to the 4-horse Gold Hawk. This horse is unbeaten in 2 starts. Comes off of a couple of sprint races, stretches out today to 2 turns, but pedigree wise, I don't think he'll have any problem doing that. He came from off the pace in his sprint races, so I don't see the 2 turns being a problem at all for him. And I'm going to give him the edge over the 7-horse once again. Louisiana bred, Vickers in trouble for Mike Maker. This horse just came out and just destroyed a group of Louisiana bred maidens last time out. He's going to go. He figures to go right to the front once again today, and he'll just better take him as far as he can. The question is, can he have the same kind of success that he had against Louisiana breds against Open Company? I'm thinking he's probably not going to quite be able to handle this group as easily as he did that other bunch. So we're going to give Gold Hawk the edge over Vickers in Trouble. The 1-horse, Roman Unbridled, comes off an easy win at Delta Downs last time out, and stepping up out of that race. Figures to save ground on the rail and maybe get part of it running from just off the pace in here. So we'll go 4-7-1 in the Grade 3 LeCompte.
All righty. Well, getting down to important things now. What about the game today?
Well, you know, they've got to make hay at home, Ursel. They've got three straight at home, and they're in a position where you know, they can't lose any games at home, period.
Yeah.
You know, they would have I thought that the win Tuesday would have given them a lot of positive energy. They just couldn't you know, make enough plays there in the second half to get it done. It seemed like we were always either had the ball and behind, or maybe had the ball and tied, and never could have the lead and the ball. And you know, a couple mistakes here and there, and it was you almost rather lose by 20 than lose like that. But that's the way it was.
Yeah, yeah. That's turnovers and free throws are what got them beat. But I like the effort.
Yeah, I had no issue with their effort. They battled. They battled really from start to finish. You know, they got behind by 9 early, and they came back from that, and then they had that play there where Arkansas had a 7-point trip with the 4 free throws and three-pointer, they overcame that and looked like they were going to lose in regulation, and they made a 3, and looked like they were going to force a double overtime, and then, you know, it just made a mistake at the, you know, not boxing out. Everybody stood and watched. And
everybody thought time would run out.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. So,
yeah. Oh, well.
Lesson learned, hopefully.
Listen to some expert, I forget which one it was now, on ESPN, and he says Arkansas at home is a top 10 team at home.
Well, they're very good at home. I mean, they've only lost, I think, last year they lost to Syracuse, you know, who made the Final Four.
Yeah.
And this year they've lost to Florida, and that's the only 2 they've lost at home, I think, in you know, in 2 years' time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it would have been so good for us. I think we could have won it because it'd been a meaningful win, and
unfortunately, I just couldn't get it done.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, Steve, that's been Steve Moody with the Florida Handicapper Sheet. And as I say, you can go to brisnet.com and pick it up. I think it's out at Keeneland or wherever they sell in the daily racing form. Thanks, Steve.
All right, Harrison.
Well, it should come as no surprise that First Defense sired a classic win in his first crop. He has a pedigree that's stamped with classic performances. He is one of more than 100 stakes winners by the now-deceased Unbridled Song, the sire of, just like First Defense, a winner of the Philly Classic, the Grade 1 Mother Goose. Unbridled Song is a son of the classic winner and classic sire, Unbridled. The dam of First Defense is a daughter of the classic winner and classic sire, Seattle Slough, and she was quite a runner herself. Grade 1 stakes winner of nearly $900,000. First Defense's second dam is the famed Grade 1 winner and Broodmare of the Year, Toussaint, dam of the classic winner and superior sire, Empire Maker, and a four Grade 1 stakes winners. So when Closed Hatches, a filly from the first crop by First Defense, won the Mother Goose, she carried on the classic tradition. She also has won well over $1 million. First Defense himself, a Grade 1 winner, stands at Judmont Farm for $15,000. Live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com. Well, the winning continued last weekend. Am I doing this right? Yeah. The winning continued last weekend for runners raised on products from McCauley Brothers. At Santa Anita, the Grade $300,000 Sham Stakes was won by Midnight Hawk, a colt bred by Mike Pedram, and raised over at Hillendale Farm. And at Aqueduct, the $100,000 Ruthless Stakes went to Mamduha, a filly bred and owned by Shadwell Farm. Congratulations to both from their friends at McCauley Brothers. The bottom line is the winner's circle. And for best results, feed the best. Week after week, the quality of the McCauley products is verified by the winners of major stakes from coast to coast and abroad as well. The record speaks for itself. To learn more about the McCauley Brothers products, call Mike Warren or David Longmire, 859-873-3333. Check the website, McCauleyBros.com, or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, Ashford Stud has been the home of the number one ranked freshman sire for three straight years. In 2013, Dunkirk carried on what is becoming a tradition when his first crop juveniles earned $1,112,446. Numbered among his 14 winners were seven stakes horses, including Havana, winner of the historic Grade 1 Champagne Stakes and second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and Duncan Ben, winner of the Grade 3 Sapling Stakes at Monmouth Park. Dunkirk is carrying on the qualities of his sire, Unbridled Song, who passed away last year. Unbridled Song has sired 103 stakes winners, and he ranked sixth on the 2013 North American Sire List. In stakes last week, Haytai, a four-year-old son of Fusi Ichi Pegasus, won his second straight stakes by taking the Costa Rising Stakes at the fairgrounds, boosting his earnings to right at $275,000. He's one of 74 stakes winners, nearly 175 stakes horses by Fusi Ichi Pegasus, Mr. Prospector's only winner of the Kentucky Derby. Dunkirk stands for $15,000. Fusi Ichi Pegasus for $7,500. Fees payable when the foal stands and nurses, and both stand at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. For more, call the farm at 859-873-7078. See the website, coolmore.com. All righty. Well, let's see. I've got an announcement I want to make real quick. A Monet auction is currently on eBay until Sunday night, January the 19th. Honors the Eclipse Award winners, winning artists, AP Indy, Mind Shaft, Kitten's Joy, Mucho Macho Man, Wise Dan. Of course, that's when they take paintbrush in a horse's mouth or, tied to his tail or something. I don't know how Monet married Mary Simon does it. But anyway, they paint, and it comes out real interesting. And, of course, it's the Eclipse Awards are, of course, tonight at 8 o'clock on HRTV. The rerun horse of the month, they have a Charlemagne is a six-year-old with chestnut gilding. Foaled in Ireland, raced in Italy until 2013 and came to California. He was a $200,000 yearling, sales yearling, and he earned over $100,000, so he was better than an empty stall. He's sound, suitable for all disciplines, and to see him and other adoptable horses, go to rerunottb.com. rerunottb.com. That's a great organization, And their horse of the month is Charlemagne. So, all righty. They're running the Colonel E.R. Bradley Stakes down in, at the fairgrounds. Let's see, what time is it? I've got time to do this, I do believe. And Colonel E.R. Bradley passed away in 1946, and there's an obit in American Resources in 1946, which was written by Joe Palmer, and I'd like to read that and then read a little something about the farm itself that was written in 1940. So this is an obit written by Joe Palmer about Colonel E.R. Bradley. Edward Riley Bradley, born in Johnstown, Pennsylvania on December 12, 1859, died at Idle Hour Stock Farm, Lexington, Kentucky on August 15, 1946. He was a figure without any exact parallel in racing. He had, it was reported, worked in steel mills around Pittsburgh. Later, still by report, he had been a cowboy in the West, an Indian fighter, a gold prospector. It was said that he had known Billy the Kid. But the truth of these things was not known. In 1934, before a Senate committee, he characterized himself as a speculator, racehorse breeder, and gambler. In the late 80s, he had been a bookmaker at the races around Memphis and St. Louis. He had owned gambling casinos in El Paso, Long Beach, and Rockaway, and the famous one at Palm Beach. But his gambling was on an unflinchingly honest basis, and he established unusually high ethical standards. Once at Palm Beach, a patron had said, "Look, don't let me lose more than $5,000 a night in here. I get a few drinks, and I play too high." Not long afterward, by browbeating croupiers into continuing to accept his bets, he lost $20,000. A check for $15,000 was in his hotel box the following morning. The first horse to carry the Bradley Silks was Friar John when he won at the Harlan Chicago track in July 27, 1898. Between that date and his death, they were carried by four Derby winners, Broker's Tip, Where Grew King, Bubbling Over, and Behave Yourself. And with such others as Blue Larkspur, Brimley, By Jiminy, Busher, Bridal Flower, Black Servant, Black Helen, and Blue Border. From 1903, when statistics are first available, through 1946, his horses were won 1,331 races and $3,395,887. He had established a farm in Lexington in 1906, then a 336-acre tract called Ash Grove. At the time of his death, it had grown to about 1,200 acres and was famous wherever race horses were known as Idle Hour Stock Farm. In the late fall of 1946, all of the Bradley Thoroughbred interests, including the farm, were sold to a syndicate made up of Ogden Phipps, Green Tree Farm, and King Ranch. And a considerable number of the horses and the section of the farm containing the residence were sold to Edward S. Moore, and the remainder split up among the syndicate. His charities were beyond numbering. He built a church in Palm Beach. He donated nearly $300,000 to Kentucky orphanages over a period of years. A worn-out horseman could always turn to him in emergencies, and some he pensioned for life. His gifts were always unpublicized. Many were unknown except to the recipients. He was buried in the Catholic cemetery at Lexington, and the American turf was aware, as it turned from the grave, that it was poor. Also written and published in 1940 by Joe Jordan in the book The Blood Horse Horse Country, this was an article that had appeared in the Lexington Herald Leader, and there's another good story in there about Colonel Bradley and what the kind of a man he was and the things that he had done. Everybody knows Colonel E.R. Bradley is the only owner who has won the Kentucky Derby four times, but you can erase that from the records, and Idle Hour Farm still would be outstanding as a great breeding establishment. Perhaps the emphasis the public and the newspapers have placed on the four Derby victories has detracted attention from the fact that Colonel Bradley also has won the Preakness three times, the Matron Stakes four times, the Pimlico Futurity three times, the Hopeful twice, the Belmont Stakes, the Withers, the Belmont Futurity, and virtually every other old important event on the American turf. One of the first things to attract the attention of a visitor to Idle Hour Farm is a bronze statue of Black Tony, which stands at the great sire's grave near the Stallion Barn. To one familiar with Idle Hour history, it is a symbol of Colonel Bradley's success as a breeder, a reminder of the Bradley luck, and a monument to the generosity and square dealing of E.R. Bradley. All those things are tied up with the story of Black Tony. In 1912, one of Colonel Bradley's friends, the late William A. Prince, a New York cotton broker, had a chance to buy 16 yearling colts that James R. Keene had bred at his Castleton farm near Lexington. Mr. Prime consulted Colonel Bradley and told him the price set on the Keene yearlings and sought advice. Colonel Bradley advised him to buy. A few days later, the cotton market broke and Mr. Prime needed the money he had invested in the yearlings, remarked in Colonel Bradley's presence that he regretted having bought the colts. To the hard-pressed broker's relief, Colonel Bradley offered to take the colts off his hands at what he had paid for them. Explaining his action later, Colonel Bradley said, "I made it a practice never to advise anyone to do a thing that I would not do myself. 5 minutes before that time, I had no more idea of buying those 16 yearlings than I had of flying." Since Colonel Bradley already had about them as many yearlings as he wanted, he decided to sell the Keene colts at auction. He offered them in the name of Frank Brown to save Mr. Prime embarrassment. Not until later, and from other sources, did it leak out that Mr. Prime was the man who needed so desperately the cash that Colonel Bradley supplied so readily. At the sale, Colonel Bradley himself bid in four of the yearlings he liked. The others sold so well that he received more than the lot had cost him. He was quoted in the Thoroughbred Record a few days later as having said that he got out of the transaction four good colts and a little cash as pure velvet. One of the yearlings that Colonel Bradley had bid in for himself was a colt by Peter Pan at La Belgravia, which went for $1,600. This colt he named Black Tony. Besides racing well, he developed and won it into one of the greatest sires of modern times. Now in the stud, this is written in 1940 now, now in the stud at Idle Hour are Blue Larkspur, Burgoo King, and Balladeer. Blue Larkspur, foaled in 1926, won 10 of his 16 races and $272,070. His victories included the National Stallion, Juvenile, Withers, Belmont, and Classic Stakes, and the Stars and Stripes Handicap in the Arlington Cup. He had sired such winners as Myrtlewood, Skylarking, Boxthorn, Bless Again, Birdflower, Bluebeard, Bloodroot, Bien Jolie, Kentucky Blues, Delphinium, and Brooklyn. Burgoo King, foaled in 1929, won 8 races and $110,940, including the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness Stakes. Balladeer, 1932, the son of Black Tony, was a brilliant racer as a 2-year-old, winning the United States Hotel Stakes and the Champagne Stakes before an injury suffered in the futurity forced his retirement. Of Colonel Bradley's four Derby winners, the 1932 winner, Burgoo King, is in the service at the farm, as stated. Bubbling Over, 1926 winner, is buried on a hill overlooking the Stallion Barn. Behave Yourself, 1921, died in Wyoming. And Broker's Tip, 1933, is in stud in California. Colonel Bradley, in 1906, purchased the 336-acre Ash Grove Stock Farm, nucleus of the present 1,290-acre establishment. It has been noted as the home of a great trotting horse, George Wilkes. That was about Colonel E.R. Bradley, who was, boy, I'd love to have known him. He was a very interesting person. All right, let's see what we're doing here. January 11th at Aqueduct, the $100,000 Ruthless Stakes was won by Mamduhar, a 3-year-old filly by De Hare. Mamduhar served notice on November 2 at Aqueduct that she was something special, winning a maiden special by 4 impressive lengths after being slammed at the break and again approaching the turn and going 5 wide down the lane. 4 weeks later at Laurel, she won the $100,000 Gin Talking Stakes by 4.5 lengths. Mamduhar turned in another courageous performance in the Ruthless. The official chart of the race described her performance as determined and game. Mamduhar's class and courage reminds us of another high-class filly by De Hare, Gypsy Robin. Gypsy Robin won 5 stakes, including 2 graded stakes at Keeneland, was second and 2 more, a grade 1 Saratoga, and a grade 2 at Keeneland, and she earned nearly $600,000. Grade 1 winner De Hare by Awesome Again is siring runners for $5,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Kent Barnes, 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Colonel John was a leading freshman sire in 2013, and he was the first freshman sire of the year to sire a greatest stakes winner. That was Concave, a winner of the Grade 2 Sorrento Stakes at Del Mar, and later placed in the $500,000 Grade 3 Delta Downs Princess Stakes and the Grade 1 Del Mar Debutante Stakes. He was also the sire of Colonel John, placed in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf and in the Santa Anita Surfer Girls Stakes. Here's Johnny, placed in the Juvenile Turf Stakes at Gulfstream and in the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Stakes. Thunder Run, placed in the Sunday Silent Stakes at Louisiana Downs. And Sweet Southern Dame, placed in the Arlington Washington Lassie Stakes in Woodbine's and in Woodbine's Ontario Debutante Stakes. And there's two more first crop runners to keep an eye on. Tantiente Coronel and Two Jacks Wild, impressive winners of maiden specials at the fairgrounds in Tampa Bay just last Sunday. Colonel John, a multiple grade one winner of $1,779,000 and the son of a Hall of Famer, tis now, stands for $17,500 doing a full stint of nurses at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox or Leanna Packard and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Is that playing down? Okay. All righty. I'm going to, what have I got time to do now? I've got about 10, 15 minutes. I might have a chance to look at Old Hat, who was a champion handicap mare back, way back when, I remember. But she was a foal in 1959. Just like yesterday. What are you guys laughing about? Oh, for crying out loud. She was by Boston Doge. She was by the Doge. Now, Boston Doge was a pretty good racehorse. But he wasn't much of a sire. I think he sired four stakes winners, as a matter of fact. Besides, the Old Hat was a champion, and he sired one pretty good horse named Cohansa Tibe, which I think won the Sanford Stakes at Saratoga. So it was. But Old Hat was a really tough old mare. She ran 80 times, won 35 races, 18 times seconds, and 9 times third. Bred by Sidney Conrad, bred by W.A. Nelson, raced for Mr. Conrad. And C.C. Norman was a trainer for most of her career. She started out racing at Churchill Downs. Took her a while to win as a two-year-old, but she did. She broke a maiden at Arlington as a two-year-old, and then she went on and didn't run in any stakes as a two-year-old. She was kind of a late maturing kind of a mare. She ran 23 times as a three-year-old, so she was pretty busy. Looks like that's pretty near every other week, isn't it? Right at it, 23 times. She didn't win her stakes until, about 10 or 12 starts up in about, you know, she won some allowance races and everything. I think her first stakes, gee whiz, did she win her stakes? I'm looking at her PPs here now. She placed in the Fall City Handicap down in Churchill, she got to be by Primonetta, who, of course, was a champion mare by Swaps. Fortunate Isle ran third, so she was running against some pretty good horses doing all this. She won some allowance races at Churchill as a three-year-old, but she didn't win a stake. I'm trying to find her first stakes win here. And let's see, she was always up to a four-year-old. Finally, she got beat ahead down at Hialeah in the Black Helen Stakes. And another champion beater, Sakata, who was by Brian G, that raced for the Meadows Stud, champion two-year-old filly. I believe she was a champion again at three. That was in the Black Helen. Finally, on March the 27th at Gulfstream Park, she won the Suwannee River Handicap. and she beat Sakata that day. Coup d'etat ran third, another very, very good filly. Then she went to Churchill Downs and won an allowance race there, won by 7 lengths. Didn't beat a whole lot that day. Then she moved up to Washington Park, and she won the Four Winds Stakes. And in the Four Winds Stakes, she beat Hushabye, filly by Heliopolis, that belonged to Dixiana, and drew clear in one in hand, said she won by 3. Now, the Four Winds Stakes was named after, well, Four Winds, of course. But four, that's a Grant's tomb, you know. Anyway, Four Winds was, she was by Sweep All out of Miss Toro by Toro, as well as I can remember. She was, she won 3 or 4 stakes in Chicago. She was a bleeder. And she didn't run over 8 or 9 times. I think she started 8 times and won 5 races, including 3 stakes, but she was a brilliant filly, but she was really a terrible bleeder. She was a full sister to Sirocco, who was a foal. Let's see, he was a 3-year-old. What year did Galahadian win the Derby? 1940. That was a 3-year-old in 19, so he's a foal of 37. Galahadian, Bimelec, he ran 5th in the Derby that year. And then he caught Bimelec. In the met Bimelec in the Arlington Classic, and of course Bimelec was Colonel E.R. Bradley's. They say he's the best horse that Colonel E.R. Bradley ever owned. But if you look up the records, I think Blue Larkspur was better. But anyway, he was a pretty good horse, and Sirocco beat that horse by 7 lengths in the Arlington Classic, and ran 2nd in the American Derby. Sirocco did. He was a gelding, and then he broke a leg shortly after that, and they had to put him down. But he was a very good-looking horse. I remember him very well. He'd won the Walden Stakes as a 2-year-old, and running 2nd was a horse named Famar, who was another son of Sweep All. He ran 1-2 in the Walden Stakes, and in doing the running, the Walden Famar bowed, and they gave him to a fellow named George Gill, who was a fox hunter, and he used that horse for many years became a really great fox hunter. The horse was a grand-looking horse, and saw that old bull a few years later, and it would just set. I mean, he was as sound as a, you know, I loved to have got him and raced him, but but George wouldn't give him up, and it's probably just as well. Anyway, well, that's the story about him. I will get back to the old mare here of Old Hat. Let's see, when did she win her first stakes? That was the Four Winds. And let's see, after that, she got pretty good. Won allowance race at Gulfstream Park. Won 2 in a row. Won at Churchill. Won at Monmouth Park. She moved up. Her next stakes win was the Delaware Handicap in 1964. And she beat Miss Cavendish. Miss Cavendish was a daughter of Cavan, who stood over at the Stallion Station, and had he was by Mossburg, and had won the Belmont Stakes, beating Tim Tam. Of course, Tim Tam broke down that day, but anyway, that was Cavan. Wasn't much of a sire, as a matter of fact. I think Miss Cavendish was the best thing he ever sired. She ran 2nd in the Matron to Tosma, 2nd in the Mascot to Tosma. She ran in the Spinster out here at Keeneland, and she beat Miss Cavendish again, had her number, didn't she? She won the Fall City Handicap up at Church of Downs, beating DeCathy and Abrogate. I think Abrogate was by, who was she by? Reneg, I believe. She won the Columbiana. She won the Black Helen. And I'm going to run out of time if I'm not careful. She won the Suwannee River Handicap again, beating Abrogate. She won an allowance race, came back, won another allowance race. That was at Delaware. She won the Matron Handicap in 1965, beating Swoon Along. She won the Michigan Mile in an 8th, beating the boys, beat Roman Brother that day. Took some doing. She won the Fed Handicap, beating Lieutenant Stevens. And then she tailed off after that. She came back as a 7-year-old, and she did win the Fall City Handicap. Finished 1st anyway, but disqualified and placed 2nd. Came right back and won the Sweet Patootie Sweet Patootie was a filly, real small filly that was a Michigan. She raced in, up in Michigan, I believe. Well, anyway, this was the Sweet Patootie Stakes. I'm trying to think what she was by. I think she was by no, that's not right. Alaturn, I believe. The last race of her career, last two races, she ran second in the Spinster to Open Fire, and then she won an allowance race down at the old, now extinct, Tropical Park. All right, well, Bourbon Eyes, a 3-year-old colt by Tiz Wonderful, stamped himself as a colt to watch last Saturday at Oak Lawn Park. Bred by Troy Rankin and Joe Davis and trained by Kellen Gorder, Bourbon Eyes won his career debut on November 30 at Churchill Downs by 2 lengths, going 7 furlongs. And Saturday's race at Oak Lawn, his second start by widening 4 lengths around 2 turns in the slop. He was one of 21 two-year-old winners of 2013 by Tiz Wonderful, one of only 5 stallions that stood in North America to more than 20. One of the 21 was In Trouble, undefeated winner of the historic Grade II Futurity Stakes at Belmont Park. A leading second crop sire, Tiz Wonderful's the sire in his first crop of My Happy Face, winner of the Grade III Tempted Stakes and the Latka Stakes, both in New York, placed in 4 other stakes, all graded, 3 Grade I. She earned $540,600. He's a sire, Tiz Tremendous, placed in the Grade II stakes and over $369,000 earner. She's sire, 2 others that placed in stakes. Now, Tiz Wonderful, undefeated to 2, winner of 2 graded stakes on the dirt at Churchill, is by Hall of Famer Tiz now, and he stands for $7,500 doing a full stanza nurse. He's also eligible for Spencer's Breed Secure program. If you don't profit, you don't pay. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All righty, let's take, how much time have I got left? I got 2.5 minutes. Hey, you can run a half mile on that. Anyway, I'd have to get in the car to do it. Let's see. Let's give you the winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show. Not many places to run right now. Turfway and Beulah Park. That's about it, I do believe. It's a Jim Rankin, good old Bourbon County boy, won down at Turfway. Let's see, Alberta Davis won one. Well, I think both of them live in, I think she lives down in Bourbon County also. Tommy Short won one at Turfway. Robert Hunt won one at Turfway. John Langemeyer took 2 down to Beulah Park and won them both. And last night, Brian Michael won one at Turfway with Dillo. D-I-L-L-O, Dillo, I guess it is. Don't know what that means. Belongs to Alan Tannenbaum. Alan, he's trained for Alan for a couple of 3 years now. Alan used to ride races many moons ago. I remember when he was galloping horses out here. And he was a pretty good rider in his day. And right, nice fella. So congratulations to them. We're on next week at the regular time. And I guess that's about it for right now. Let's see, what else can we talk about here for the next 30 seconds? One of those things. Oh, I forgot some of those things, you know. Okay, let Sally Van repair your trailers, vans, and diesels. So we've got to take care of our good friends over at Sally. Give them a call, 800 number, 967-8267. And if you're having computer troubles, go to the Lexington Computer Clinic out at Hamburg Place in Myers. And they'll help you over the phone. And they keep us going pretty good. All right, well, that music means it's time to spit out the bit, and that's what I'm going to do. We'll talk to you next week at the regular time, and thanks for listening.